Welcome to our third episode of Child Sexual Abuse Prevention by Xena podcast. I am your host, Xena Ponsell. Hey, everybody. Another friendly reminder that April is Child Abuse Awareness Month, as well as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I'll continue tossing this reminder out in honor of our children for one more episode, our fourth one, coming out on April the 25th, which is next week. Let's revisit the colors I mentioned in the previous episodes in regard to Child Abuse Awareness Month. The color teal represents sexual abuse, while the color blue represents child abuse. All forms of child abuse, physical, emotional, and sexual. The representation of those two colors together is what this podcast is all about. Child abuse and sexual abuse, making our main focus on child sexual abuse. Related topics will be popping up as well on future episodes. The cover photo of this podcast was designed with those two colors in mind. Go through your closets, wear your blue shirts the rest of this month, and honor our kids. If you're tuning in and it's a different month other than April, you grab your blue shirt anyway and wear it to honor our kids. We need to honor our babies every month. Let's talk about our kids. In the previous episode, I reviewed some possible signs or indicators of child sexual abuse. Some of those signs would be more evident than others, leaning towards a higher possibility of sexual abuse, such as blood in their underwear or a baby with suspected STDs, which are sexually transmitted diseases or infections. I need to toss this out here. Some babies are born with STDs that they get during birth from their mother. I'll dig deeper into that on a different episode. Regardless, they need to be checked out by a doctor. Did you know that some kids have no physical signs of sexual abuse? Zero. None. Keep in mind, many offenders of small children try to engage and play with the child to touch them inappropriately, such as the tickle game or get the quarter out of my pocket game, or do sexual acts to the child, or convince the child to do sexual acts to them, the offender. During this young age, the sexual acts often include touching and fondling of the genital area, which usually leaves no evidence. By making the abusive actions a fun game to an innocent, unaware child, prompted by the offender, the child is less likely to tell on them. The child may not be afraid of the person. Don't forget, most of the time, the child and their families know the offender. Many times, when inappropriate actions are happening to the child through the offender's play techniques, there often is no pain to the child. Usually, there is no penile penetration to the child during the strategy by the offenders, at least at this time. There is no physical evidence of any kind through this play abuse technique. If this offender continues to have access to this child, the abusive games by the offender will continue and will change as the child's body develops. This ongoing abusive play by the offender is getting the child used to these actions and are usually told to keep their special game a secret. More than likely, the offender will then begin penetrating the child vaginally and or anally as the child becomes more physically developed. Some little people may have no idea they are, in fact, being sexually abused. Oh, and don't forget about child pornography as a form of child sexual abuse. So, yes, there may not be any physical signs at all of child sexual abuse, especially at the early ages of childhood. In the previous episode, I said we would talk about having conversations with our children to inquire with them about signs that may indicate sexual abuse that is taking place or has taken place. Open communication needs to start early with you and your child. Let's look at one of the signs in children that I talked about in the previous episode. As mentioned, physical signs are not common. Let's say a child has bumps or scabs around their genital area and or maybe their mouth. Maybe they are a little person and you noticed it while they were taking a bath or helping clean them up on the potty. The biggest thing you need to do is to continue doing what you're doing. If you're washing or wiping, just say casually and calmly, "I noticed some bumps or scabs on your bottom area," or whatever they call their private part. Use the child's language. "Tell me what happened to your bottom." Keep in mind their developmental age, verbal skills, etc. will be a determining factor if they can answer or not. Remember, the bumps and scabs could be an indicator of sexual abuse resulting in a sexually transmitted disease or infection on your child. It does not mean they have been sexually abused. And it may not be an STD. What it does mean is you need to look into that situation further to find out what those bumps and scabs are and how they got on your little person's bottom. A doctor visit may be needed at this time to find out what it is and to get it treated. Keep in mind, doctors are mandated reporters. Well, they are in the United States. Now, let's talk about what not to say if you notice physical signs of possible sexual abuse on your child. Such as in my previous example. Remember, do not say the following to your child. The parent or grown-up is yelling this in front of and to the child after noticing the bumps and scabs on the child's genitals or their bottom. Oh my gosh, I knew it. Uncle Bobby touched you, didn't he? You better tell me now, why did you let him touch you down there? I'm cringing at this example I just provided you. So many kids are spoken to this way. I know people often speak unintentionally with heightened emotions to children. You really need to check yourself and speak into a child. It can make all the difference in the world. Take 10,000 deep breaths or whatever you need to do to calm down before speaking to a child about something that has upset you. Let's say your child did disclose something inappropriate happening to them. If your little person who has told you, their safe go-to person, about something that happened to them, and you lose it, which I would totally understand as an adult. However, a child probably won't. The child may feel they have upset you, and now they are upset because they feel they hurt your feelings. To make you feel better, the child may change their story and say, "No, it didn't happen. I made a mistake. It wasn't what I thought," on their safe grown-up's reaction to a child's disclosure of sexual abuse. I have been involved in many, many child sexual abuse cases where the child recanted, which means to say the child said, changed their mind and said it didn't happen, based on the parent's reaction from little people to teenage child victims. So how you react is huge. Please, for your child, you need to remain calm. I'm a firm believer in expressing feelings respectfully. In these situations, you need to wait until you're around a spouse, a close friend, another adult. Yes, please get those feelings out, just not around your child. They need positive and calm. Let me break down the previous scenario I provided on you on how the grown-up spoke to the child. Okay, so I've talked about remaining calm, right? Now, I'm going to read the scenario again without the yelling. And this would be the response from the parent to the child. Let's look at the sentence content. Here I go. Oh my gosh, I knew it. Uncle Bobby touched you, didn't he? You better tell me now. Why did you let him touch you down there? Now, what's wrong with what the parent said? It was said in a much calmer tone, so it maybe shouldn't scare the child. The parent automatically went on the defense in accusing someone. Uncle Bobby's name was tossed straight out there to the child. The child could say yes for a few reasons. The child may say yes because the parent threw Uncle Bobby's name in the mix. The child may say yes because maybe it really did happen. The child may not say anything due to being afraid of providing the wrong answer to the parent. The child may say what they feel the parent wants to hear. Please, whatever you do when inquiring with your child or any child, trying to find out what may have happened to them, if anything, do not throw another person's name in the mix. You might feel like they've done something to your child. Please give that name to an investigator. Please give that name to law enforcement. If the child should need a forensic interview later, they very well may tell the interviewer the name the parent gave them. As a parent, guardian, caregiver, you would tell the investigators the names of whatever people you may suspect and for what reason. But please don't put the name of whoever you suspect in the child's head. You can report child sexual abuse on suspicion. Through trainings, most forensic interviewers are prepared for the possibility of an upset parent tossing a suspect name in the mix and speaking with the child. Through the interview, they can often sort everything out and many other details. Alrighty, so we've talked about using a calm tone and not using a suspect person's name when speaking with the child, trying to determine what may be going on with them. Moving forward with the bad example I provided, there were two words I'm asking you to never use in this format when speaking to a possible victim, really of any age and any crime, but we're focusing on child sexual abuse. The two words are why and let. Never, ever ask a victim why. Why didn't you stop him? Why were you there anyway? Why were you wearing that? Why did you let them do that to you? Why? The word why automatically puts blame back on the victim. Regardless of where they were, what they had on, or anything else, the victim was just that, a victim of a crime, a target. No one of any age asks nor deserves to be sexually abused. No one, male nor female. Victims can be both genders as well as offenders. Now that we've picked apart the bad example I provided on speaking to a child, trying to gather information on how they ended up with bumps or scabs on their genitals or their bottom, let's go back to the quieter way of chatting with this cool little person. You can calmly say, I see something on your bottom. Sores, bumps, scabs, or whatever you want to call it as a parent. Do you know how they may have gotten there? If your child names a person who touched their private area with the other person's private body part, then maybe say something like, tell me about that. Do not lead your child in a conversation by putting words in their mouth. And when y'all finish talking, say, thank you for telling me. Please don't dig for details, because if this child ends up in a forensic interview room and has to have a forensic interview, details will be exposed to them. Usually. Remind your child they can tell you anything at any time and they are not in trouble. They did nothing wrong. As hard as this scenario may be, you have to remain calm. Even though you may feel you're about to explode, and rightfully so, do not continue to question your child. At this point, you grab something to write on and with. Write down everything that led up to your conversation with your child, the complete conversation. Write down and document the date and the time. Call the police, 911, provide them with the information you've obtained from your child. And moving forward in future episodes on this podcast, I'll walk you through exactly what to expect, how the process works in the United States as far as when a child discloses and like law enforcement's called and DFAS gets involved. So I'll talk about that in future episodes. I guess I need to be wrapping this episode up. Think I'm going to change the ending to our scenario a little bit. Let's say after the safe grown-up asked the child if they knew where the bumps on their bottom came from. Remember, bumps, scabs on the genitals can be an indicator of sexual abuse. It doesn't mean it happened. It just means to look into what may have happened through having a conversation with the child. Maybe the child's response was totally different. The child may say, I was playing outside and sat in an ant bed, or something similar. Maybe you didn't know because they were somewhere else with a safe person who just forgot to tell you. This episode was mainly to focus on speaking to a child to find out what may be happening. And yes, this one was geared towards our younger kiddos. Regardless of their age, remain calm. Do not accuse anyone of anything when speaking to a child. Do not continuously dig for information. If you keep digging, the child will often shut down or tell you what they think you want to hear. Have regular conversations with your child or children of any age, letting them know they can come to you about anything. If you have more than one child, speak to them together. If someone, whether it be another child, teen, or adult, male or female, someone they know or someone they don't know, makes them feel uncomfortable in any way, your kids need to know they can come to you, regardless of the situation, and tell you what happened that made them feel uncomfortable. It may be someone calling them a name, looking at them funny, or touching them inappropriately. If you can have regular conversations with your child and keep those doors of communication open, you've created an additional avenue in protecting your kids. Be sure that swinging door of communication includes listening to them about whatever is bothering them. I'll dig more into the communication piece in a later episode. Always remember, if you don't listen to your children now when they try to tell you something, they'll stop coming to you. Listen to your children. Think I'm going to wrap this one up. Don't forget to shoot me an email with any questions or comments at csapreventionbyzena@gmail.com, all lowercase. That email again is csapreventionbyzena@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Look out for those kiddos. Episode 4 will be dropping next Thursday, April the 25th. Have a blessed rest of the week.